Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to the Basic Gospel Program. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we want you to be a part of this edition, and you can do that if you call right now, 844-322-2742. Good in the U.S. and Canada if you have something to talk about, perhaps a Bible issue, something in the Scripture that you can't quite understand, an issue at home or at the office, wherever it happens to be. We want to discuss it with you. We want to take you into the Word of God and talk about it on this edition of Basic Gospel. So call now, everybody. 844-322-2742 is the number to dial, and because that's the number, you can talk to Bob Christopher right now.
And we would love for a lot of our listeners to pick up that phone and dial that number, and let's talk on today's edition of Basic Gospel. If you have a Bible passage that's confusing to you, now's the time to call. Yeah. We would love to walk you through that and show you how the framework of the gospel can give you the answer, how the Spirit of God can truly reveal the truth, the right interpretation of those passages. If you have a problem situation, we want to talk to you about that as well, because in Christ there's hope.
Yes.
A lot of people are losing hope out there as far as their circumstances are concerned. They just feel like they're in a big black hole and there's no way out. Well, that's hopelessness. And there's no way to really survive when you get to that hopeless state. You feel like you're just trapped forever.
Yes.
But in Christ Jesus, there's always hope. There's always a way out, and he promises to show you that way out. So let's talk about that as well. Anything else on your mind, current events, we would love to chat with you and talk through those issues through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Or, Bob, we're working our way through Philippians chapter 3 and chapter 4 this month, all in light of our resource that we have available to people that we want to put in people's hands. It is a CD series that I did on these two chapters of the book of Philippians, and we've entitled that Stand. And when you take your stand on the gospel of Jesus Christ, when you recognize that he is everything, that you're bragging about Jesus, not your good works, not anything that you've done, but you're bragging about what Christ has accomplished for you. You've received Christ, you've humbly received him, you have all the reason in the world to rejoice, you can experience genuine contentment and peace, and you can understand your purpose in life. And that's what this series is all about. We want to put it in your hands as our way of saying thank you for your gift to Basic Gospel this month. But today I want to talk to us about verse 3 and 4 of Philippians chapter 3. So Paul starts this chapter off with this encouragement: rejoice in the Lord. That's an encouragement to all of us who are in Christ, and we have every reason imaginable to rejoice in the Lord in spite of what's going on in our circumstances. If we're in Christ and we're forgiven, we're loved, we're accepted, we're righteous, we're holy, we're blameless, we're alive, and even better, Christ is alive in us. That's the good news. And so we have plenty of reasons to rejoice in the Lord. And then Paul gives a warning about the dogs, and he's talking about teachers of the law, teachers who say for you to be a true believer, for you to be a true follower of Christ, you need to go through circumcision. You need to be circumcised. Well, here in verse 3, he gives the three marks of a true Christian, a true believer. So he says, for we are the real circumcision. Now, he's not talking about a physical circumcision. He's talking about a circumcision of the heart. He's talking about something that happens by the Spirit of God. Way back in the Old Testament, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, verse 6, Moses gives this encouragement. He says, there's going to come a time when the Lord will circumcise your hearts so that you can love the Lord with all your hearts, your mind, your strength, and your soul. So something was going to have to happen to these hearts of ours to enable us and empower us to love God, to walk in dependence upon God, to walk by faith in the risen Christ. Well, you fast forward to the New Testament and you see, for example, in Romans 2:29, Paul talking about the real circumcision are those who have been circumcised in the heart by the Spirit of God. And then you look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 13, and it says that God has circumcised your heart. He's cut away that old heart and he's given you a brand new heart. So that's a mark of a genuine believer. He's had a heart transplant. God has given him a new heart through spiritual circumcision. So that's mark number one. Mark number two is that we worship by the Spirit of God. We're not worshiping by rules. We're not worshiping by rituals. We're not worshiping by religious activity. We are worshiping by the power of the Spirit of God, that the Spirit of God is the true source of our worship of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's important for us to know this third thing is that we glory in Christ Jesus. That's how we know we're worshiping by the Spirit of God. Why? Because the Spirit of God takes the things of the Lord Jesus and makes them known unto us. The Spirit of God is always pointing us to Jesus Christ. Now, there are a lot of people that talk about the Spirit of God, and they talk about the Spirit of God as if he's just a power, a force, that he's not a person. He's not part of the Godhead. He's just a force. So impersonal toward us. And this force empowers us to do things. Well, these things are really self-effort. It's nothing more than religious works. But in those particular sects and cults, they always talk about this spirit, this force, but they never say that spirit or force mentions anything about Jesus. Right. Well, if you're really operating by the Spirit of God, if you're really worshiping by the Spirit of God, you're going to be glorying in Christ Jesus. Why? Because the Spirit of God is going to point you to Jesus Christ. That's what the Spirit of God does. He is the Spirit of truth. He's going to guide you into all truth. Well, what did Jesus say about himself? I am the way, the truth, and the life. Right. All truth is bound up in the person and work of Jesus Christ. So we worship by the Spirit of God. We glory in Christ Jesus, which means we put no confidence in the flesh. We put no confidence in our heritage, our lineage, our ancestry, our religious background, our abilities, our human abilities or talents. We don't put any confidence in those things as far as our relationship with Jesus Christ is concerned. We recognize that this story is a by grace through faith in Jesus story. Yeah. God initiates, God regenerates, God empowers. God does it all. We simply participate in what God is doing through faith. So do you want to know what a real Christian is? Somebody that has been given a new heart through spiritual circumcision, somebody who worships by the Spirit of God and glories in Christ Jesus, and someone who puts no confidence in the flesh.
Yeah, yeah, that's good stuff, Bob. Thank you for that.
It is good stuff, yeah, and yeah. That's why I think the Spirit of God told Paul to write it down in this letter, because it is good stuff.
Yeah, hey, Paul, this is good stuff. You need to put this down.
Yes.
This is Basic Gospel, everybody, with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis. Glad you're with us today, and we would love for you to really join us at 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada. The lines are wide open, and we'd love to discuss whatever the issue or question is that you particularly have. Well, we're going to go right across far north Dallas and out into Rockwall and talk to Pat. Let's listen to Pat's question right now.
I have a question, please, Pat from Rockwall. For 400 years that the Medo-Persian Empire ruled Israel, and it said, while I was reading here, that God didn't speak then to the people. And after the Romans took over, he began to break his silence and talk to the prophets. Can you explain that, maybe? I don't really have any scripture to back that up. I was just reading an article. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, Pat, thanks for the question, and it is a good question. And yes, there were 400 years of silence between the last prophet in the Old Testament and John the Baptist, basically calling for the people of Israel to prepare their hearts for the Messiah. And all of that was prophesied. All of that was talked about. Daniel's prophecy is key to that. And he said from the time that Nehemiah talked about building the wall until the time of Messiah would basically be 69 weeks. Mm-hmm. And that's what took place. We also see in the book of Daniel, we see that King Nebuchadnezzar had this vision, which Daniel was able to interpret for him, and it was about the four kingdoms that were going to rule the world, the first being the Babylonian kingdom, and then the Medo-Persian kingdom, and then there was the Greeks under Alexander the Great, and then that became the Roman Empire. And in between, or during those times, after Malachi the prophet, God was silent. He didn't send prophets to the people of Israel. Why? Because he knew that the next prophet that he was going to bring on the scene was going to be a guy named John the Baptist, and he was going to be related to Jesus Christ by birth. And then John the Baptist was going to introduce Israel to their Messiah as he baptized Jesus Christ in the Jordan River. And when he did, the dove descended upon Jesus. There was this voice from heaven that said, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased." And so now Messiah was on the scene, and God began to speak to the people through Jesus Christ, and he continues to speak to the people through Jesus Christ. So the end of Malachi talks about Elijah, the prophet Elijah, coming on the scene, someone coming in the power and spirit of Elijah. Well, John the Baptist was that guy. Jesus identified him as that guy. And so he was the last Old Testament prophet, basically. And like every other Old Testament prophet, guess what he did? He pointed the people to Jesus. And he had the honor and the distinction of actually being able to introduce Jesus in person. The prophets in the Old Testament, they were just unfolding the story. Here's what he's going to be like. Here's what he's going to do. Here's what he's going to accomplish. We can know him by where he's born. We can know him by the fact that after he's born, some bad things are going to happen, and he and his family are going to go down to Egypt, and then they're going to come up from Egypt, and they're going to settle in Nazareth, and he's going to have a ministry around the Sea of Galilee. And so all of those things were prophesied, talked about in the Old Testament, some 300 prophecies about Jesus Christ himself that all came true in the person of Jesus Christ. So they were unfolding that story, and then John the Baptist, as the last Old Testament prophet, introduced him physically to the people of Israel. Hey guys, this person we've been waiting for, this person that we've heard about all of our lives, that our forefathers have been talking about all of this time, he is on the scene. He is here. So prepare your hearts to receive him. And that's what his baptism was all about, was preparing the hearts of the people to receive their Messiah. And once John the Baptist had fulfilled his role, he said, "I must decrease, he must increase." So John the Baptist kind of walked out of the limelight and gave way to Jesus Christ to do what God had sent him to do. So, yes, there was a 400-year period after the conclusion of the Old Testament, the book of Malachi being the last book in the Old Testament. It ends with a prophecy about someone coming in the spirit and power of Elijah. 400 years later, That man was John the Baptist, introduced the world to Jesus.
Yeah, absolutely. Pat, thank you for your question. Hope that's a help to you. Keep listening. Call again if you have further questions. And friends, we want to hear from you. That's why Bob and I are here every day live, so that you can be a part of the broadcast, and you can't be a part of it unless you call. That number, 844-322-2742. If you have a question or some issue you're dealing with, give us a call right now. Again, 844-322-2742. Pure and powerful. That's the way I describe Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley United. And they will bring you an exciting live open seating Bible conference. First time we're going to be able to get together in person for quite a while, Bob. That's going to be October 15th through the 17th, right here in our ministry hometown, friends of Louisville, Texas. From his fullness, we have received grace upon grace, and that's what we will be hearing about. Purely and powerfully, the grace of God that's ours in abundance through the Lord Jesus Christ. Need I say more? Well, information available and registration is open right now for the conference we call United, October 15th through the 17th. Visit basicgospel.net/united and join us for this very, very special event. Again, all the information available at basicgospel.net/united. Well, once again, that phone number, we have time for you to call right now at 844-322-2742. And Bob, in the meantime, a question from a California listener about 2 Corinthians 7:1 that says, "Cleanse ourselves from all defilement of the flesh and spirit." The commentary we use, this writer says, defines the difference as the sins of the flesh are those we commit in the body, and the sins of the spirit are those things like vanity and pride and conceit and so forth. Aren't these all sins of the flesh too? If so, my question is, what is a sin of the spirit?
Well, what is a sin of the spirit? That is a good question, and we certainly appreciate that. But here in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, he talks about the fact that we are the temple of the living God, that we have become the dwelling place of God himself, and that is both individually. So the minute we come to Christ Jesus, we're born again, we're made new in Christ. God sends his spirit to take up residence in us. So God's spirit has found a home in you, and God's spirit has found a home in me and every believer who has named the name of Christ Jesus. And then when we are added to the body of Christ, then we corporately are the dwelling place, the temple of the living God.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the context of what he says here. So since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. So there are things that we do in the flesh, and certainly sexual immorality, and that was a big problem in the Corinthian church, and that takes up a lot of space in the letters that Paul writes about. He says, this is what you were like. You were enslaved to sexual immorality, sexual impurity, but you have been bought with a price. Your body is not your own. Don't join your body to prostitutes and all these other things. And then he also talks about idolatry. And he uses this same kind of illustration, don't join yourself to idols. And certainly there in Corinth, there was a lot of idol worship that was taking place. There was a lot of pressure from those pagan religions on Christians to bow their knee and follow their old way of living as far as worshiping these foreign gods, these idols. So he's saying, don't give in to idolatry.
Yeah.
And I think that's very important for us to understand that in today's world as well. I mean, we don't have little statues that we're bowing down to. Now, certainly in some places that is true. They carve these statues out of wood, and if you want them to move from point A to point B, you have to go and pick them up and take. I mean, what kind of God is that?
He
can't even move himself from A to B.
Yeah.
Who needs our help to make that happen? Why would we give any credence to that? But that's what was happening back then in some countries today that still happens. But we bow our knee to things like money. We bow our knee to things like success. We bow our knee to things like power and prestige and all of those things. Well, what do those become when we do? They become idols,
yeah.
We devote our attention to. And I think that's what he's saying, is to cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit. There's bodily sins. There's that sin of idolatry, that sin of coveting as well. Those emanate from deep within. And he's saying, don't get trapped by those things as a believer in Christ Jesus. Why? Because you've been made new. You have a new heart. You can think with the mind of Christ, and you are the temple of the living God. So express that from the inside out.
I had a question from Stan. Bob, he says, back before college in 1975, I thought I literally heard God say, go back to college and study music. I did, entered college with a music major. A few years later, I married and dropped out of school to pay bills and support my wife, as I felt that was the better choice to support my family. Not terribly happy with my choice, and ever since I felt as if I have missed God's purpose and blessing in my life. Is there a way I can redeem myself and get back happy?
Well, you can't redeem yourself. I mean, you have to realize that Christ has already redeemed you, that in Christ you have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, that Christ has redeemed your life. And maybe you look back with regret for not finishing that that music major and carrying on with that particular, quote, calling you thought you had in your life. But it's time to say, you know, Lord, if I hadn't have done that, then this life that I've had since that time couldn't have come about. And in that life, I've seen your hand, your faithfulness, your blessings time and time and time again. So I'm going to thank you for the life that you've given me in Christ. I'm going to thank you for the wife that you've given me, the family that you've given me,
yeah,
and for the wisdom that you gave me to choose supporting the family over something that may or may have not worked out for me.
Yeah.
Now, your marriage to your wife is one of the most important relationships on planet Earth.
Indeed.
When God set up marriage in the beginning, he set up marriage to be a reflection of the glory of God, the character of God. We see that in the New Testament when Paul in Ephesians 5 said, you know, wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church. This is a mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. So marriage is a reflection of Jesus Christ's great love for his bride,
yes,
the body, mm-hmm, of Christ. So you get to reflect that out in the world by your love of your wife and her love of you. So don't undersell that.
Yeah.
Don't minimize the importance of that decision to support your wife, to love your wife as Christ loved the church. God has probably used that in ways that you have never seen and may never see,
yeah,
but count it as a blessing that you've been able to live a life loving your wife, having her loved you, and bringing this wonderful family about that represents the good news of Jesus Christ.
Indeed. Well, we love hearing from you, our listeners. And don't forget, 844-322-2742 is available for you 24 hours a day. And thanks for being with us today for Basic Gospel, everybody. And thanks to all of you who make it possible for us to be here every day with this good news of the gospel of grace in Jesus Christ. If you're new to Basic Gospel, and if what you hear every day has found a place in your life, well, we ask you to stand with us also and support this ministry that we call Basic Gospel. You can donate now or anytime at basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net. And when you do that, be sure to request your copy of Bob's new resource. It's called Stand. We want you to have a copy of it. Well, for Bob and the ministry team, I'll be back tomorrow. We'll be back tomorrow for another edition, and we'll see you then. Bye-bye.